Welcome to Ikoyi Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning into our podcast services. Listen and be blessed.
Tonight we'll be talking about Jubilee and release. Tell your neighbor, Jubilee and release. Yesterday we talked about Jubilee and repentance. Today we are talking about Jubilee and release. What is common to them? The arrow. So mark it, tomorrow there will be another arrow. Jubilee and release. In Leviticus chapter 25 verse 10 that we read, after God had given Moses the command for consecration, he says, make that year holy. Let there be an atonement. Let it start with atonement. The next thing that God told Moses is proclaim liberty throughout the land. Verse 10, Leviticus chapter 25. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. Please mark the two. All the land, cover the geography of Israel, and cover every person. Liberty must be proclaimed to every part of the nation and everybody in the nation. The word liberty means freedom. The word liberty means freedom or release. When we talk about freedom, it implies that there is captivity. When you talk about freedom, it implies that there is servitude. When you talk about freedom, it implies that there is imprisonment. When you talk about freedom, when you agitate for freedom, it means that there is a form of incarceration. When you talk about freedom, it means that there is a kind of subjugation. When you talk about freedom, it suggests that there is one form of bondage or another. Are we together? Are we together? If you go to verse 39 to verse 43 of Leviticus chapter 25 that we are reading, it says, and if thy brother that dwelleth by thee be waxing poor and be sold unto thee, thou shalt not compel him to serve as a bond servant. But as an hired servant and as a sojourner, he shall be with thee and shall serve thee unto the year of Jubilee. And then shall he depart from thee, both he and his children with him, and shall return unto his own family, and unto the possession of his fathers shall he return. For they are my servants, which I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. They shall not be sold as bondmen. Thou shalt not rule over him with rigor, but thou shalt fear thy God. These verses make us to understand that if an Israelite sold himself into slavery, or by one reason or the other finds himself in bondage, He must not lose total hope. The law of the year of Jubilee does not allow him to lose total hope. Maybe by one reason or the other, he lost all his property, he lost the land, he lost everything. The next thing he could do was sell himself and become a slave to another. The Bible says he must not lose all hope. He must look to one year. There is something going to happen. This situation will not be permanent. How many of you used to watch one program many years back with a man called Alagbin? Alagbin used to work in his brother's house. He would be cleaning the house and he would be singing. As he's cleaning the house, he would sing. He would sing, no conditions permanent in this world. No conditions permanent in this world. And that was the hope that God gave the Israelite concerning the year of Jubilee, especially the Israelite that was in captivity, the one in bondage. He must look towards the year of Jubilee and say, no, this my condition is not permanent. I must not lose hope. Jubilee is 2 years more. Jubilee is 1 year more. Jubilee is 6 months from now. Jubilee is 2 weeks from now. And immediately the trumpet blows, he knows that he's free. And God spoke to the fellow Israelite who has the privilege and the advantage of being in a position to buy the slave. Someone who has lost hope has come to you and said, look, I am selling myself as a slave to you. God said, you must, even though you have bought him as a slave, you must not treat him as a slave. Because he is your brother. You must treat him as a servant. As a paid servant. Not as a slave, a bond slave. He said, then when the year of Jubilee comes, you must release him. And let him go. I don't want us to be confused concerning the issue of release. Concerning, as it concerns the Sabbath year and the Jubilee. Now, the Sabbath year is every seventh year. The Jubilee is 7 times 7 years. Do you remember that? How many of you remember that? We discussed that. Every 7 year is a Sabbath year. It's a holy year. But 7 of such gives you 49. The year after it is the 50th. And that is the what? The Jubilee. The 50th. You know, cohesion is 50th. Amen. When the Jubilee year comes, the slave must be set free. You see, it is not in the nature of oppressors to release those that they have held captive. It is not the nature, the manner of oppressors to easily release those that they have taken captive. If the colonial masters had known what was at stake, they would not have given us independence drinking tea and eating biscuits. Did you hear that? If the colonial masters had known that Nigeria had what it had, do not think that those that we call founding fathers and heroes who went to sit down and drink tea and discuss independence and got independence. Maybe that's our problem. We got it so cheap. Maybe it would not have happened like that. Because it is not if they knew that we had what we had, maybe we wouldn't have gotten it the way we got it. It is not the nature of oppressors. People who are making profit. Look at the American experience. The southern states were plantation farmers. They were farmers. And so when they began to trade in slaves, the transatlantic, how many of you went to primary school? You did transatlantic slave name, Ajayi Crowder. How many of you did Jaja Fokobo? I mean, you didn't go to school. You didn't go to class. Some of you are like, you went to school, you didn't go to class.
like me.
You see, the southern American states were buying slaves because they had the weather for farming. Their weather is conducive for farming, and as a result, they were the ones buying the slaves from the Oyinbo people, buying the slaves and using them in plantations in America, in southern America, in all their Jericho land. The northern states, because of their own environment, had to hook up to science. And with science came what? Automation. And with automation, there was no need for slave in the north. So it was easy for the northern states to say, oh, we should leave, the issue of slavery is not. But it was not easy for the southern states to say, oh, let us abrogate slavery. Because that was what was running the economy. Free human labor. Oppressors don't like to release. Oppressors don't easily release. And just as it was in those days, it is the same today. Oppressors don't release easily. Whether they are physical oppressors, whether they are spiritual oppressors, whether they are psychological oppressors, financial oppressors, whether they are spiritual oppressors, they don't find it easy to release. Remember those people that Paul and his friends, they saw their girl, their slave girl. The girl had the spirit of foretelling. For those of you who like prophecy, that somebody is prophesying does not mean it's from God. If you don't know that by now, I'm still sorry for you. If you still think that everywhere they are speaking prophecy, you must go there, something is wrong with you. I didn't come to insult you, Sha. But if you are that person, something is still wrong with you. You see, I'm not looking up now. I don't want you to mark my face. But you see, God hates oppression. God hates oppression. You know, one of the things that happen in God's presence is that chains break. God hates oppression. I want to say it again because I know that even Christians oppress. God hates oppression. And if you go to verse 42, you will see one of the major reasons why God hates oppression. Especially when you want to oppress his children. He says the reason, if you have a Bible, please look at it. I don't do more preaching, I do more teaching. He says that what? Verse 42, what does he say? He says, you cannot keep them in permanent slavery. They are my servants. Yes, you bought him. Yes, he messed up. Yes, he sold himself. But the reality is that he is my what? He is my servant that I brought out of the land of Egypt. They shall not be sold as bondmen. The reason why God is declaring your freedom of every man from oppression is because every human being belongs to God. Listen for a moment. God said, I bought Israel out of slavery in Egypt so that they may serve me. As a result, they are not for sale. One version, look at what one version says. It says, for they are my servants whom I took out from the land of Egypt. They may not become the property of another. That's one version, as I was checking. One version says, they may not become the property of another. The law of the commandment of release in the year of Jubilee stands on one principle that God stands. Pastor, can you stand here? Please stand. This man, he is in slavery, but there is the principle of redemption. That is, anything that has been given can be bought back. And then God comes in the year of Jubilee and stands as his king's man. God now becomes his king's man redeemer. He said, okay, you said he is your property. Pastor, come please. Say he is your property. You own the land. He has sold himself to you. He's working for you now. Abi, bringing a lot of gari issue. Okay, then. Now, on the year of Jubilee, as the trumpet is blown, God comes and stands beside him and say, he has to go free. He said, no, he has sold himself to me. God said, I am standing for him. On the year of Jubilee, God stands for the oppressed as his kinsman redeemer. He's saying, okay, now, I am his kinsman. I have come to redeem. He said, but he has sold himself to me. And God said, okay, you are part of Israel. So you are part of the people that I bought from Egypt. And the land that you are working, actually, I lent it to you. It's on lease. It's not your own. So, plus you, plus him, you are mine. Eni to ni eru, ohun lo leru. The owner of the slave. Yoruba. Eni to ni eru. How do you interpret that? Ohun lo ni eru. How do you say that in English? You understand it, ja. You know, it's difficult to just put. Do you know? Okay, let me leave it. I don't know where you have been sold out. I don't know where you have been taken captive. I don't know at what point you have become the property of another. But God is saying, I have saved this person so that, you see, the reason for this person, that this person must be free, is that I want this person to worship me. I want this person to bring glory to me. You cannot worship in captivity. Look at the commandment that God gave Moses to take to Pharaoh. He said, go and tell Pharaoh in more than 8 places, go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go that they might worship me. God is not seeking your release so that you can go and party. God is not seeking your release so that you can go and mess up and come back and be a slave again. God is not seeking your release so that you can go out there and be your own man. God is seeking your release so that you can worship him, so that you can serve him. You see, if you study the scripture, you will understand that in the seventh year, there is a similar law. There is a seventh, in the seventh year, there is a Sabbath year. It is not the Jubilee. In that seventh year, there is also a commandment that all slaves should be freed. But there is a caveat in the seventh year. You see, in the seventh year, the caveat is that a slave can say, I am enjoying this place. I don't want to go. The Bible says, if that be the case, that slave and the master, they will go before the elders and they will declare that. He will declare his intention. I don't want to leave this place. I am enjoying this place. Then they will take him to the post of the house, the yoko of the house. What do you call that? The pillar of the door. And then they will bore his ears. They will put a hole in his ears. It was not the Jews alone that practiced that. The Lydians practiced, the Persians practiced this. They will drill a hole in his ear, through the ear, to the wall of the house, and then they will release it. He will bear that hole. It is a sign of perpetual servitude. That is the kind of thing that was mentioned in one of the Psalms. Was it Psalm 40 that was talking about the Messiah? Is it Psalm 40? Can somebody help me check? Psalm 40 verse 6. What does it say? I'm not too sure. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Now, the translation should be that my ears you have bored. To bore the ear is a sign of willing servitude. You are willing to be what? To be totally owned by that person.
That is what the Messiah is saying here. He says, it is not about you desiring sacrifice and offerings. My ears have been pierced. That is, I am totally sold out to you. That's what the Messiah was saying to God. It's a conversation between the Messiah and God. Hebrews talk about it. In Hebrews, when Hebrews was recounting it, he says, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but you have given me a body. Don't let me go into that one. That's another sermon. It's another totally different sermon, but I won't go there. But what you need to know here is that in the seventh year, a freed slave in the seventh year can say, I'm not going. There is a caveat given that he can stay. But you see, the law of freedom of the Jubilee does not leave a caveat for a slave to stay back. Go and read all the laws of Jubilee. It does not give that caveat that the slave can decide to do what? To stay back. In the year of Jubilee, you must go. You, your family, your children, whoever is with you that came into slavery with you, you must leave. You must leave slavery. Wherever you have been taken captive, whether it's you, whether it's your family, whether it's your spouse, whether it's your business, whether it's your health, whatever has taken you captive, or whoever has taken you captive, maybe it's that relationship that you went into that has taken you captive. You are now a slave. Whether it's the work habit that has made you a slave, whether it is, you know, a young man came, he wanted to get married, and he was supposed to do 3 months counseling. They didn't see him at most of the counseling. Then on the day, he was working for some Indians. Then when he was supposed to now meet with me for like maybe 2-3 weeks of counseling, he did not have time. Then 2-3 days to the wedding, we're supposed to do, what is that one that we will do? Rehearsal. He didn't have time. The last meeting we had with them, like 2 days like this, I just told the guy, I said, I advise you not to marry this guy. He said, Pastor! I said, lady, I am advising you not to marry this man. Because I asked them what was their arrangement after the marriage. The day after the marriage, the Sunday after the marriage, he was to report back at their office in Ikorodu. Alone. So he just came to do the marriage to go back to work. I said, don't your bosses know that you are getting married? He said, they know. I said, young lady, please, I put a pastor continue. Don't marry this man now. Are you so desperate? You know, women can be desperate at times to enter captivity. What kind of job is that? He said, I'm working. Look, I had a member who was working, was a top guy in a bank. And he would not have time. At a point, they booked them into hotels. And Saturday and Sunday, it was not him fucking it. They booked them. They said they were doing one conversion. They booked them into hotels. He could not come home. He could not come to church. Then one time, he became sick. He went to Nigerian hospitals. You know Nigerian hospitals now? They started diagnosing all kinds of things. This one, they said, it is cancer. The other one, they said, it is AIDS. He said, where will I get all these things from? Another one, they said, it is kidney failure. We started praying, confused prayer. We were praying. What kind of prayer? The man was just growing lean. He was just growing weak. When the man got to a point, he was a guy in the bank. He didn't even have money. Some of you will be there all the time, and we will be chasing you, looking for money, not knowing that you yourself, we should help you. And then the man just did something. He took a loan and went to France. He was the one telling me all this. When he came back after some months, he said, Pastor, all those tests I was doing in Lagos, they would say, go and fast, don't drink water before you come for 2 days, don't eat food, this one. He said, they just put me in one machine. Immediately they put me in one machine, they passed me through the machine, they think, when they came out, the computer told them what is wrong with him. Said, there's something wrong with your bowel movement. They said they were giving you something to drink, like this white thing that we used to drink. What do you call it? Eh? Miss Mag. He said they were just giving him that thing to drink, small. He said, but for the period that was there, He said, Pastor, I was overwhelmed because church members were calling me, praying with me every day. He said, Pastor, when I was in the office, we were always very busy. He said, while I was in the hospital in France, my office, they were so busy, nobody remembered to call me. He said, Pastor, I had a good time to reflect on my life. He said, I was now remembering all your sermon. So if I die here, that is how they will just put somebody in my office. Sharp, sharp. Taken captive by the work. Taken captive by the work. Taken captive by sins. Taken captive by one habit or the other. You don't drink 2 bottles of water. You don't drink 3 bottles of water. But you finish 5 bottles of Star and you say you are not a habitual drinker. Please, what are you? What are you? That is oppression. That you are in captivity. Pastor, but the Bible didn't say we should not drink. I'm not going to argue that. I mean, I can't even go there. But I am just asking you, are you okay? Are you comfortable? You know you need that money for school fees. But the thing says, go and buy it. Go and enter Mama Solo office. Enter Mama Solo shop. Oh yeah, buy 1 bottle. You drink 1 bottle. Buy 2 bottles. You drink 2 bottles. You want to stop because you know that you have to give your wife money for food. The thing says, buy 3 bottles. He said, but I have to pay my children's school. He said, buy the 3 bottle. You buy the 3 bottle. You drink it. Your stomach is feeling full. But it says, buy 4 bottle. Then you're buying the 4 bottle. You say, don't you see that it's cool? It's cold. Touch it. It's very cold. Drink it. Drink it. He said, but my stomach is... He said, drink it. Drink it. And you're drinking it. Drinking it. You're drinking it. He said, yeah, buy for those people. Buy for those people. Buy for them. He said, buy for them. He said, madam, serve everybody. And you say you are free. Listen to me. Listen to me. The Jews, they told Jesus, they said, we are children of Abraham. We are not in captivity to anybody. And Jesus laughed at them. He shook his head. They will ask you a simple question. You will start lying from Adam to Revelation. You don't need to lie, but you will just start telling stories. Don't you see that something, there's a captivity somewhere? While you are supposed to be preaching to nations, you sit down, you are always there praying prayer of repentance. Don't you see that something is holding you down? Something is limiting you. Something is not allowing you to fulfill destiny. Anything that will not allow you to, is a bondage. Israel wanted to worship God. But the moment they want to go and worship God, where they were in Egypt, there's a bondman who said, come here! Where are you going? I want to go and pray. You want to go and pray what? Make straws into bricks. Make bricks. So God just shut up! Make bricks. What will they do? They make bricks. Because they are in what? Captivity. Can an Egyptian come and meet them in the promised land? I say, you Israeli, come here. I say, yes. I say, okay. Where is this place? This is Israel. This is Canaan land. It's okay. Yeah, I want you to start making bricks. Will that happen in Israel? This issue is a very serious issue because many Christians are children of God. We claim, yes, we are children of God. We are children of God. But we have been snared. We have been snared and we are being held captive. And it is not allowing us to fulfill our divine destiny in God. Israel were people of God. But as long as they were in Egypt, even if they were in, what do you call that place in Egypt? Even though they were in Goshen, you know, Goshen is still part of captivity. It is still in captive land. For those of you who live in Goshen Estate, I don't want to live in Goshen Estate. Because it's still not the promised land. Goshen Estate is still not the promised land. No matter the privileges and the tips that you are having there. Sorry, I'm not trying to harass any estate. But please consider this matter with me. What is that thing that is not allowing you? What's that thing that is controlling you? Who is that person? For some of us, poverty has taken you captive. Poverty. The spirit of poverty. And for some of us, it is the spirit of wealth. Your wealth has taken you captive. Is it not amazing that opposites can take us captive? The law of Jubilee does not allow anybody consideration to stay in captivity. God does not give you an option to salvation, to redemption, to freedom. There's no option but freedom. And I pray that the law of Jubilee will be enforced in all our lives tonight. Whatever has resisted your release, that thing will be taken captive tonight. Because he is the one that takes captivity captive. Sets these people at liberty. Listen with me. Something will begin to tell you. Begin to count the number of revivals you have attended, prayer meetings, deliverance services that you. Something will be telling you now. Remember the number of prayer and fastings that you've done on your own. Remember the number of deliverance services you have attended, revivals that you have attended. And at the end of it, I am still there. I would have said if something is speaking to you now and telling you that, you should raise your hand, but don't. Whatever it is, speak back the word of God. This is the ancient word, ever true. Speak it back tonight. It says, I must be free. It doesn't say I may be free. It doesn't say that I might think about being free. It says in the year of Jubilee, proclaim it all through the land to everybody. They must be set free.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were blessed. Ikoyi Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 5-7 Latif Jakande Road in Ikoyi of Lagos State, Nigeria. You can find us on Facebook as Ikoyi Baptist Church or reach the church directly via phone at 0163-20485 and 0163-20486. For more information, please visit the church website at www.ikoyibaptistchurch.org. We look forward to having you back next week.